Well, as a way of announcement, in 2 weeks, we will be having a baptismal service and also a dedication service. And I know I've talked to several of you, but if any of you have not yet been baptized and are wanting to do that, please let me know. I'd really like to know today or early this week, so that way I can meet with you and go through the material that we need to be able to go through in order for that to happen. So if you've never been baptized, I would invite you to at least give me a call and let's talk about that. So if it's something you're interested in. Okay, most of us right now have our Christmas trees up. You can see we at church we have our Christmas tree. Our houses are decorated with red and green. There's probably a nativity scene sitting somewhere in our living rooms. Few overachievers even have the presents wrapped and under the tree. You know, when kids start seeing their names on wrapping paper, they start to get very excited. And even some adults too. But 2 weeks. 2 weeks. That's like an eternity. The anticipation. Finding out what you're going to get. As that child grows and becomes an adult, waiting can become even harder. Maybe you're waiting for God to answer your prayers that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe you're waiting to find out what God wants you to do. Maybe you're waiting to start a family. Maybe you're waiting for your finances to get right side up. Maybe you're waiting for your marriage to get better. Maybe you're waiting to retire. Waiting for your kids to grow up. Or maybe you're just waiting for this sermon to get over so we can eat lunch. Life is full of waiting. So what do we do in the times of waiting? That is what we are going to talk about today. Think about David. You know, he was anointed king, and he had to wait a long time before he became king. Also the Magi. We think about the Magi who came. They waited a long time for that star to appear. For our scripture reading this morning, if you please stand with me, we're going to read Psalms 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And He established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. And then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. And let them be driven back and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all of those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. David says that he waited patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. What does it mean to wait patiently? They say patience is a virtue. What does it mean to wait patiently for the Lord? Let's talk about what it is, and let's talk about what it is not. First of all, what it is. Romans 8:25 says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Some translations say patience. But the idea is, it's something that we're hoping for. When we are waiting patiently, we are waiting in hope. Think of a little kid, right? He's got that package, and he hopes it's something really good. He wants something wonderful. And when we're waiting on God, that should be our anticipation. God, I know You have something wonderful for me. And we're waiting with hope. Secondly, we're waiting while we pray. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Our times of waiting should be times of prayer. Constant communication with God. And that will happen when we trust in God. And that's the third thing. What it means to wait patiently. It means to trust in God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Psalm 33, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You." When we are waiting patiently, we are saying, "God, I am trusting in You. I am trusting in Your time. I am trusting in Your sovereign will in my life." Another thing that is an example of patience is loving others. When we are waiting patiently, we should also be spreading God's love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up." In times of waiting, we should be working to show our love to others. Those are some things of what patience is. Let's look at what patience is not. Patience is not worry. Psalms 37 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." If we're worrying, we're not waiting patiently. Patience is not weary, growing weary in what we're doing. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Waiting patiently is not giving up. Waiting patiently is continuing to do good, even when we're tired. And patience is not anger. Waiting patiently is not becoming angry. James 1:19-20 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We will not be in God's will. We will not be in a place of God's blessing if we are continually showing anger in our lives. According to a traditional Hebrew story, Abraham was sitting outside his tent one evening when he saw an old man, weary from his age and journey, coming toward him. Abraham rushed out and greeted him and then invited him into his tent. And there he washed the old man's feet and gave him food and drink. The old man immediately began to eat without saying any prayer or blessing. And so Abraham asked him, "Don't you worship God?" The old traveler replied, "I worship fire only, and I reverence no other God." Well, when he heard this, Abraham became incensed. He grabbed the old man by the shoulders and threw him out of his tent and into the cold night air. When the old man had departed, God called to his friend Abraham, and he asked him, "Where is that stranger that came to you?" Well, Abraham replied, "I forced him out because he did not worship you." And God answered, "I have suffered him these 80 years, although he dishonors me. And you couldn't put up with him for one night?" A little bit different perspective. What does it look like to wait on the Lord? The Apostle Peter wrote that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. An economist once read these words and got very excited. He said, "Lord, is it true that 1,000 years for us is just like a minute to you?" He said, "Yes." "Then $1,000,000 to us must be like a penny to you." "Yes." "Lord, would you give me one of those pennies?" "All right. Just wait a minute." Our timing and God's timing, sometimes that doesn't equal each other. So what do we do in times of waiting? What does that look like? The Bible says the first thing we must do is we must prepare our hearts. Prepare your heart. James 5, 7 through 11 says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." You know, sometimes when you're farming, there can be eager moments. Maybe a storm comes through. You want to see what damage has been done to your crops. But overall, a farmer must plan to wait. He puts his seed in the ground in the spring, and he won't see any fruit of that until the fall. He won't be able to reap any harvest until the fall. And if he goes back there the next week expecting something, he wants to start reaping the following week after he plants, he's going to be a very sad farmer. So God says we must establish our hearts for the coming of the Lord. He says, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end it intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So on one hand, he says, establish your hearts to wait. Be prepared to wait. And then on the other hand, he says, the judge is standing at the door. You know, there's an old saying, plan like the Lord isn't coming back for 100 years. And live like he's coming back tomorrow. I think that's a great saying. I think it's a great way to live your life. Plan is that the Lord isn't coming back 100 years, but live. Do the things that you would want to do if the Lord was coming back today. What would you want to be found doing? That's what you should be doing. Prepare your heart. Psalms 27, 13 through 14 said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We must believe that God is going to do good things in us, through us, and for us in this lifetime. Because that's what God wants for us. Now, He might call us to lay down our life. He might call us to give up things. But we must have a belief that God is going to do good things. Because indeed, He wants to do good things if we are willing to let Him do that. And that brings us to the next step. In times of waiting, we must seek God. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26 says, Though the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Psalms 25 says, Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and on you I wait all the day. In times of waiting, we must prepare our hearts, but we must also seek God with all of our hearts. And finally, we must work on our own sanctification. 2 Peter 3:14 says, Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brethren Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. The song that played during the offering, While I'm Waiting, was written by John Waller. Someone asked him what the song meant. He shared that he had struggled with depression in his life for years. He wanted to change from becoming a depressed person to being a joyful person. He said the explanation for this song is simple. I was waiting on God and I was hurting when I wrote the lyrics. I probably wouldn't even have written a song if my friend Mike hadn't encouraged me to document what I was going through during that time. I'm sure there's a few people who can't relate to this song, but the important thing to remember while we're waiting on God is to not just wait, but to actively wait. Serve, worship, and be faithful with what you have, where you are, even while you wait. So why do we have to wait? Your kids ask, why can't we do this now? Why can't we open up our presents right now? Why do we have to wait? Why do we have to wait on God's timing? 2 Peter 3:9 says, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's timing is perfect. And God is waiting for people to come to know Him. It might not be perfect for us. But example, Jim. We had his funeral here. I believe Jim would have died and went to hell if he would have died when he had his aneurysm. But God was very gracious to him and gave him 3 more months to live. And during those 3 months, he received Christ as his Savior. They weren't perfect 3 months, but I do believe they were the best 3 months of his life. God is not slack concerning his promise, but he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." God is talking to the prophet and saying that there is coming a judgment. And he says, "When is the judgment coming?" And the Lord says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." God's timing is perfect. It's not too soon, it's not too late, and it's worth waiting for. Sometimes, though, God is waiting for us. God is waiting for us to do several things. One is to return to Him. Isaiah 30:15 says, "Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." But you would not. You see, Israel was not obeying God. They were living in disobedience. They did not want to hear the message of God's prophets. They wanted the prophet to speak smooth words to them. And they trusted in themselves and their own abilities. And so God brought judgment, discipline upon them. Oftentimes today, Christians don't want to hear the Word of God. They want to hear smooth sermons, uplifting. I want to feel good about myself when I leave this place. God is calling on us to return to Him and follow Him. And God says He will wait. In Isaiah 30:18, a few verses later, He says, "Therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you. And therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you." What an amazing God we have. Even in our disobedience, He is willing to wait for us. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait on Him. God is also waiting for us to mature as believers. The author of Hebrews writes, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Paul said in other places that he had many more things that he wanted to teach the Corinthian church, but he couldn't, because they were not mature enough to handle it. And God will wait for us to mature. He will wait patiently. Why must we wait? Ultimately, we may never know the question. We may never know the answer. What God taught Job is that the why question isn't the important question. The important question is the what's question. What are you going to do while you're waiting? In closing, an ornithologist says birds have three methods of flight. Flapping is keeping their wings in constant motion like a hummingbird to counteract gravity. Flapping keeps them in the air, but it is a lot of work. Second is gliding. Here the birds build up enough speed and then they coast downward a while. It is much more graceful than flapping, but unfortunately it does not get the bird very far. Reality in the form of gravity sets in quickly. Gliding is nice, but it does not last. The third way is soaring, and only a few birds, such as eagles, are capable of soaring. An eagle's wings are so strong that they are capable of catching the rising currents of warm air, thermal winds that go straight up from the earth. and without moving a feather, they can soar up to great heights. Eagles have been clocked at 80 miles per hour without flapping at all. They just soar on invisible columns of air. Isaiah chapter 40 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let us pray. Dear gracious God, you are so merciful and so loving and so kind. And Lord, even in our times of impatience, in our times of waiting, Lord, help us to trust in your great nature. Help us to trust in your great love. Lord, help us to work on the things that you have presented to us. You have identified through your Holy Spirit that we help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before you. Let us not take for granted the mighty and wondrous works that you have performed and you are performing in us today. But Lord, let us be thankful. And while we wait, let us be sincere and be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Because we know then and only then, when we humble ourselves before you, will you honor us and lift us up. And Lord, we are so thankful that you're willing to do that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.